Oh, gracious God, I pray that this time of the spoken word can be a time that helps us connect with you, and whether through the actual words that I speak or through the words that the Spirit allows us to hear that I may never have spoken, but they're what you needed us to hear this morning. We pray that however it happens, we would feel your love and your presence and your Spirit teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about this question. I'm so thankful that Teresa asked it. What happens when you pray? And so I've got a series of cameos, just like images that I thought would be helpful for us. And the first one is this. Well, what happens when you sit on a water slide without any water? Right? Just imagine that for a minute. Because most water slides are not actually that steep. So if you sit on the water slide without any water, you kind of have to push yourself along, wiggle a little bit, and your skin kind of sticks to that plasticky stuff, and the sun's probably hot on the plastic, and it's really unpleasant. And then somebody turns on the water, and that water slide gets slick and fun and moves. I thought about that as a metaphor for prayer. Prayer as the water of love, the spiritual energy of God's love that helps to carry us along, to make the surface of the slide of our lives just a little bit more slippery so we can move along it a little bit more joyfully. If there's enough water, you may even start to float a little bit on the slide, and then things get really fun. So let's take that metaphor and deepen it just a little bit, because Jesus describes our bodies as vessels of love and light. This is not your pastor going all New Agey, although I don't think that Tab would be too upset if I were to do that. But this is the words of Jesus himself. If then your whole body is full of light, right, this is what he says, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light from its rays. Jesus is talking about the light of love shining out through your body. Now, if we were to study the way that that works through the various energy centers of your body and think about the way that the light of love comes from your heart, and then think about what happens when we pray for someone. Many times when I pray, I'm hoping that the water will get turned on, right? Because I'm on the water slide of life, and it's all dried out. I'm stuck. Have you ever felt like you're there, you're somewhere in life, and you're just stuck, and it's uncomfortable, and you need somebody to turn the water on? And Madeline Lingle describes praying for a loved one this way. In her book, A Ring of Endless Light, I simply take him into my heart and then put him into God's hand. Right? And think about the energy that's happening when you lift up a loved one and you ask for them to be surrounded by God's love. You lift up a loved one who you know is suffering and you ask that their suffering would be eased. You lift up a loved one who is in illness and you ask that the wholeness would be restored to their body and mind and spirit. Hey, aren't we just asking that the water gets turned on for someone who is stuck on the water slide of life and the water is off and it's just getting uncomfortable? And the interesting thing about this is that we are beings of light. We have our own light shining forth from us, but we are also beings who can become vessels of a deeper and greater light. So it's not just, it's a partnership in prayer that I can not only bring the light that is mine to give and shine it like a little candle out in the darkness, I can also be the lamp that holds the light of God's love and is aligned with the purpose of God's love. So the flow of love coming through me can then be wildly more powerful than anything that I alone could give, because we are in partnership with God as we pray. So that's the first metaphor that I had, is the water slide, the turning on of water, prayer, what happens when we pray. So the second metaphor I had was what happens when you go to the gym. So I was thinking about the way in which I go to workouts and my ego gets involved and I want to go over and pick up, you know, the big heavyweights, the ones that have, you know, like big things on either side. Oh yeah, that's me, right? Oh, of course, I'm not really that big. So, you know, I just start with one of these, right? I just start with something small and I have to lift it lots and lots of times in order for these little muscles to get anywhere near where they need to get, because I'm building a body, and when we are praying, we are building trust, we are building relationship, we're building the muscles of trust in God and in community, and so we're just doing it a little bit at a time, and it takes a very steady practice to build the trust body that can handle really heavy lifting. And so what happens when we pray in a steady way, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, is that our spirits and our bodies together are formed in relationship to God's faithfulness. They're formed in seasons when we say, God, will you forget me forever? They're formed in seasons when everything is going well and you're just like, God, I'm going to thank you with all my heart. They're formed in seasons when you get, God, I'm good and angry at you. They're formed in seasons when, God, I don't even know if you're there, but I've got to keep trying to lift these weights a little bit at a time. Because prayer has all of those seasons. Just like if you get a practice going, whether it's going to the gym or walking every morning, there are going to be mornings or evenings, whenever you go, that you don't really want to go. And yet, if you stay with it through the years, you build muscles and you're trust body gets formed in an amazing way. So that's a piece of what happens when you pray. And I wanna go on with another little sort of cameo, a little image to share with you. And the image that I had was so there's something that happens with our consciousness when we pray. So I had this is the little dropper that I had for giving my cat medicine when he was sick, and right, you can see it, well, I don't know if you can see or not. There's a little drop forming on the edge of this, and as I push it out, you can see a little tiny drop forming. Now, if my consciousness is that little tiny drop, it's shaped in a little perfect circle forming right there, and you know, I have a tendency to want to keep myself making sense, right? I want to be in control. And there's a way in which something happens when we pray and we lose control and we fall into a deeper and greater source. We lose control, and our egos dissolve just a little bit, and we end up being aware that we are part of something far greater than ourselves. It's very difficult to explain because the ego doesn't really like to let go long enough to realize that this has happened, or
as soon as the ego realizes that it has happened, it tries to quantify the experience, and all of a sudden you've lost it. But when we pray, that experience can sneak up on us, particularly when we've been in trust for a while and building those trust muscles, we can relax into it. Now, D.H. Lawrence said it this way: Are you willing to be sponged out, erased, canceled, made nothing? Are you willing to be made nothing, dipped into oblivion? If not, you will never really change. Right now, that's looking at it from it's looking at it from the perspective of the ego. Right? It feels very negative as an experience. But there's another way in which this experience of dropping into just the awareness of being part of it all, or not being aware of self, having a moment, Buddhists are really good at pursuing this moment of all of a sudden you're not there. I don't know exactly how to describe it except to say that it's possible, as we're praying, to get into this place. And when that happens, something resets inside us. Awe is released in an impressive way. And we are re-knitted into the wholeness of creation. Now, it's probably only going to last for a second. And then we're going to, our ego reasserts itself and we're back in the identity that's enclosed.
But prayer can bring us to those moments where we lose ourselves in the wholeness of creation. We become part of the ocean of reality. So I just want to, what happens when you pray? That can happen. And last, I want to leave you with a memory.
And this probably dates you. I don't think that they do this anymore. It probably dates me from when I was growing up in a little town
south of Utica, when we would come to physical education class, occasionally they would bring out an old parachute, probably from World War II, and we would all gather around the edges of the parachute and take hold of it. And we'd pull it out taut. So each one of us would be standing at the edge of the parachute in a circle and holding on to the edge of it. And then we would lift all together. And the middle of the parachute would rise up maybe 10 feet or more. And we would all run underneath for a minute and then run back and then let it fall. When we together pray, and Jesus taught us to pray a prayer, and he began it this way: Our Mother, Our Father. You can take your pick. It doesn't matter to me the gender of God. But Our Mother, and let's just stop right there, because every one of us is holding on to the edge of the parachute, and we're together lifting it up, and all of a sudden, something is happening, because there is light within us. There's power, there's love within us. What we do as we pray together matters. So and suddenly the center is lifting up together. And this matters because one of the things that can happen when we pray is that we call reality into being. We announce with the spiritual authority that God has given us, that the kingdom of God,
that a little piece of heaven is being born on earth, that a little more of heaven is coming to be part of our reality. So it may be that, you know, I stand with my friends and I declare, and I have done this and seen some very powerful things happen, but I declare, you know, in the name of Jesus, that the spirit of racism that has so damaged humanity in both white people and people of color, that spirit is cast out and will no longer be present in this area where our church has begun to manifest the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom that is based on the heavenly reality that God's calling each one of us beloved, calling each one of us by the name that God has for us. Not what people see on the outside, but what God sees on the inside. So we're calling that reality to be more fully expressed and lived among us. And when we do that together, when we're lifting that parachute up and seeing something happen that we're doing together, when we're doing that, and just like I was telling you right at the beginning, where each one of our hearts is filled with light and love, and yet we are also able to become vessels for the living God who sends light and love into the world through us. In the same way, we as a community, each one of us coming together, we form a power together. And we share our power, but we also can become a vessel for God's amazing power to do things far beyond our strength, far beyond our control, far beyond our imagination. And so, what happens when you pray? Amazing things can happen when you pray. And I know that this is just I've just barely touched the surface of prayer, because as I thought about it, you know, just about every story in here is about prayer. I want to leave you with one more thing. Paul writes in the book of Romans that everything works together for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. For me, that's like the black belt of prayer. Because as you go to the gym and you do your little muscle building each time we come together, or each time you go and are part of whatever it is, the practice that you do, we're aiming for something. And I think that should be out in front of us, because whatever material life brings, whether it be good or bad, whether it be difficult or whether it be smooth, can become material that brings us closer to God. All of us are going to face everything. All of us are going to face difficulties that we weren't expecting in our lives. All of us are going to be presented with joys that we hadn't imagined. And yet, are we able to take that material and receive it as something that works together for good in our lives, right? That's the goal. And that's where we're heading, and that's the gift of prayer over time in our lives.
So I hope that in one of these images you have found something that's helpful. And
I want to come to a little bit of singing in the Spirit song. And this
is a song that is very meaningful to me, because
in the first parish I served, there was a saint, and this was her favorite song, and she
passed away, and I was part of her funeral, and
this song has always been very meaningful after that. So let's sing the song together and see what it has for us.
Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you.
I might just have you out of here early. How's that for a hot summer morning? Well, as you do prepare to leave this space, please go knowing the blessing of God, who has called us together, given us good gifts to share with each other, who has created us with loving intention. Step forth, knowing the blessing of Jesus Christ, to help you be your authentic self fearlessly in the world. Step forth knowing that the Holy Spirit goes with you to equip you and give you everything you need to live your calling this week. Take this blessing of the Creator and the Christ and the Holy Spirit, and share it as often as you may. Amen.